Chapter 15, Dead Reckoning. I wish I could say that Tyson and I performed a heroic underwater rescue and saved Alec's life. But I can't. As for the tugboat, its fall to the ocean deep wasn't exactly of Titanic proportions. In fact, the hatch was only a few feet underwater, and the tug's pilot house still poked out of the bay like a coning water of a submarine. But, you see, it doesn't matter how much water there is. People can drown in 1 foot of water as easily as they can drown in 100 feet. I came up through the hatch, surprised by the short distance. I had to rise until breaking the surface. My eyes quickly adjusted to the light, and when I looked around, I could see that the other kids had already made it to safety. Now they all clung to the edge of a dock no more than 20 yards away. They looked like a wet pack of stray dogs. "We need help!" I screamed to them. "Alec's underwater! He's pinned under a beam. I think he might be dead." Nobody moved. Not a single one of them. I was furious, but not entirely surprised. Having just gotten off the tugboat with their lives, death had been close enough without them having to haul it out from the depths. Brett was the first to speak. "The suction," Brett yelled, clinging to the piling like a barnacle. "We gotta stay on the account of the suction when it goes down." "It's already sinking to the bottom, you idiot." We still received no help. And Tyson, well, being the weak swimmer he was, it was all he could do just to tread water and stay afloat. Cold as it was, I took a few deep breaths and went back down the hatch alone. My lungs held out as long as I needed to, a minute, maybe more. Then I surfaced, and the others watched as I came out from behind the pilot house of the tug. Tyson, who had waited for me, labored to the dog paddle himself to the dock. I, on the other hand, had a much more grim task. With my arm across his chest, I pulled the limp, lifeless Alec in a slow, cross-chested carry toward the dock, just as I had done to Tyson 4 months before. Only this time, there was no fighting or kicking or struggling. Alec was a dead weight, putting up no fight at all. When I got halfway there, a few others jumped into the water to help me. We hauled him up onto the dock. I never knew a human body could be so heavy, so awkward. We let him go, and his head hit the wood with a thud. Water spilled from Alex's mouth. His lips were blue. His eyes half open. I don't know if any of the other kids had seen a dead body before, but if they had, it was insane circumstances. In a funeral parlor, surrounded by flowers and organ music. Half the kids there stared in disbelief. The other half looked away, unable to face what they saw. I labored to give him mouth to mouth, but nothing made any difference. Finally, I stepped back from him and turned to the kids shivering around me. "You got what you wanted," I said to the waterlogged members of the new Shadow Club. "Alec Smarts won't be bothering anyone anymore." No one said a thing. Brett looked as if he might pass out, stumbling for an instant. Then he turned and he ran off the dock as fast as his legs could carry him, and kept on going. "We're sorry," said Tommy Nichols. He'd been in the ninth grade's best student until Alec came along. "We're so sorry." "Sorry?" I said, my voice growing louder as I spoke. "Tell his parents. Maybe it'll make them feel better, you think?" I couldn't tell what the moistness in his eyes were, tears or just seawater. "You're gonna feel sorry for the rest of your life. All of you, you know what? The feeling only gets worse." Tommy finally burst into tears. "I'm sorry," he said. "Sorry, sorry, sorry." By now, Tyson had climbed onto the dock as well as was catching his breath. His gaze fixed on Alec. "Someone ought to close his eyes," Tyson said. "It's not right leaving them open like that." I looked around until I found the one girl who seemed to be trying to hide behind all the other kids, trying to just be a spectator and not a culprit. "Jody, you get yourself over here," I demanded. "Close his eyes." "No," she said sheepishly. "You can do it." "You owe it to him, Jody," said Tyson with more conviction in his voice than I've ever heard. "You do it, or nobody here will ever forgive you." With that kind of pressure, Jody finally came forward. The other kids parted for her as if she had suddenly become an untouchable. With everyone watching, she knelt down in front of Alex's body. There were other kids crying now, some sobbing, others sniffling quietly. Jody looked around one last time, hoping there was someone who would give her a last-minute reprieve from having to do this, but no one would. So on her knees, she reached forward and with two fingers, spread like a peace sign toward Alex Smart's half-opened eyes. Just as she was about to touch his lids, Alex said, "Get out of my face!" If ever in the history of our town there was a Kodak moment, this was it. Jody shrieked, and then the skin on her face seemed to peel back as if she was under fighter jet G-forces. She stumbled backwards with the shock and fell onto the wet dock with a splash and a thump, receiving what I hoped was a whole constellation of splinters in her rear. Like I said, I wish I could only say that Tyson and I performed a heroic underwater rescue and saved Alex's life, but I can't. Because Alec didn't need saving. Like everyone else, he was good at swimming. He had been hit by the falling crossbeam, but freed himself. And when the last of the air was forced from the air pocket, he was the first one out of the hatch. But I had a brainstorm on the way out. A brainstorm that turned Alec into a much-needed silver bullet. The very silver bullet we needed to deal a mortal blow to that monster called the Shadow Club. Alec was more than happy to play his part, because he got all the benefits of dying without actually having to go through it. He had hid in the tugboat's pilot house when I went back down the hatch. The hardest part for him had to be not blinking and not flinching when his head hit the dock. I swear for a moment there, even I thought he was dead. "That's not funny," said the chess team girl, as Alec stood. "It wasn't supposed to be funny," I told her. Jody got to her feet. "You're sick," Jody said, "both of you." I had to laugh at that, but the laugh quickly faded. She actually thought we were the sick ones. "You think your twisted little joke made any difference?" she said. "The Shadow Club still has plenty of things left to do." But I shook my head. "The Shadow Club is dead," I told her. She looked around, unsure of her own support, and facing each other, we drew our lines in the sand, as well as one on the wooden dock. "How many of you think that the Shadow Club is dead?" I asked. It was like a trick question in math class. Everyone looked to one another. No one wanted to make the first move, but Tommy Nichols, who was quite often the first to get any right answer, stepped forward. Then came another, and another, until it became an entire mob moving over to the stand beside me, Alec, and Tyson. I can't say Jody was left alone. She wasn't. There were five or six kids who stood beside her. I suppose there would always be those kids who found hate too nasty a flavor to give up. But the others, well, let's just say they lost their appetite. Jody broke off her cold eye contact with me and turned to Tyson, softening up a little bit. "You don't owe him anything, Tyson," she told him. "You don't have to pretend to be on his side." Tyson shrugged. "And just because we were going out doesn't mean I have to pretend to be on yours." The police arrived quietly on this hill. No sirens, no rush. It was a single cruiser probably sent to investigate a call from a hillside neighbor who claimed boats were falling from the sky on this cold President's Day. By the time they saw us, half the kids had run off, including Jody. And the ones that remained were ready to confess whatever deeds they had done. These weren't the ones who needed to talk to their police, however. They needed to talk to their own parents. They needed to talk to Mr. Green, to stand in his ruined house and confess to him. If we brought the police in now, we'd have nothing but hard feelings and headlines. Neither would do these kids any good. I really did want to nail Jody Lademeyer to the wall for what she had done, but as the officers approached, I knew there was no chance of that. "Jared Mercer," Deputy Lademeyer said. "I should have known." He looked at the bunch of kids who were trying not to shiver. "What happened here?" "The tugboat fell," I told him. "The wind blew it loose. We saw it fall." "How come you're all wet?" "Polar Bear Club," Alec quickly answered. "We read about them in the news, you know, people who go swimming in the middle of winter. We thought we'd give it a try." "It sucked," Ed Tyson. Deputy Latmeyer studied Tyson for a moment. "Haven't I seen you with my daughter? It won't happen again." "Good." He asked a few more questions, but in the end, he took the whole thing at face value. We were just a bunch of kids doing something stupid on President's Day. I know I should have felt bad looking at him in the eye and telling him something completely untrue, but I'd been a good kid and I'd been a bad kid. Both taught me a thing or two. such as honesty is the best policy, except when it's best to lie. Having seen firsthand the lengths to which parents will go to protect their children, I knew this was not the time or place for the truth about his daughter. He offered to shuttle us all home, but there were few takers, and it was better to be cold and wet than show up at home in a police car. Once he had gone, the rest of us left for warmer places, no one talking as we made our separate ways home. I lingered with Tyson and Alec for a little, taking some shelter from the wind behind a boarded-up tackle shop. "Did you really have to give me mouth-to-mouth?" Alec asked. I cringed at the memory. I had to make it look realistic. Believe me, it was no great pleasure. Tyson held his arms across his chest as a gust of wind added to our chill. "You think your mom will have something good for dinner?" Tyson asked. I laughed. To my mom, even Thanksgiving came out of a box, and today was only President's Day. What do you think? Tyson sighed. Probably pizza or takeout. I turned to look at what was left of the tugboat. Its pilot house was still above water, but I knew it would completely submerge, come high tide. Then I looked at Alec, still swollen from the beating he had suffered. "What do you say to a kid who 2 hours ago tried to kill you and then almost got himself killed?" "You want to come home with us, Alec?" I asked. "Hang for a while?" "Not really," he said. But he was soaked. The wind was still blowing, and as he looked up the road, I could tell he was thinking about how much farther away his home was than mine. "Sure, maybe for a while," he said. "Because sometimes it's like they say, any port in a storm."